From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, October 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, two stories about how technology is changing the hospital experience. For pediatric patients whose weeks or months-long hospital stay means school has to come to them.
We all know the importance of early childhood education and socialization from infancy onward. That's missing for kids stuck in hospitals for long periods of time.
And for nursing students learning how to care for real patients with the help of artificial intelligence.
It's reduced my anxiety for, like, when it comes to patient interactions, especially like psychs. Those are like a gentle subject and it could require reassessments constantly.
Those stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Sheriff Vernon Betts removed a St. Louis Public Radio photojournalist from a public space this week. They had attempted to photograph a land auction outside the city's civil courthouse. In a conversation about the incident, Betts went on an unprompted rant about his Democratic opponent, Alfred Montgomery, who defeated Betts in the August primary. They are both black men.
I'm still the sheriff until December the 31st. So you got some other guy running around.
The sheriff continued to call Montgomery names and threatened physical violence, but Betts alleges his opponent participated in similar rhetoric and stood by his comments, calling it regular political banter.
Trump has said all kinds of stuff about Kamala Harris. Now, all of a sudden, now you've got, you know, your panties in a bunch because I won't let you take pictures, and now we've gone to something else.
Betts could not produce a specific state or city law that bans photographers from documenting a city auction in a public place. St. Charles County election officials are touting a voting registration milestone ahead of the 2024 election. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on why the fast-growing county is becoming a voting powerhouse.
St. Charles County Elections Director Kurt Barr says his county now has more than 300,000 registered voters for the first time, and he expects 75% of them to turn out for the general election. St. Charles County residents like Lisa Cran are taking advantage of the absentee voting period, which is happening now for voters who have an excuse.
I like just going in, voting, having them check my credentials, and putting it in the machine, and it's just not a bunch of people around talking or people trying to sway my vote as I walk in.
Missouri's no-excuse in-person absentee voting period begins on October 22nd. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Freshman Democrat Nikki Budzinski, who represents much of the Metro East in Congress, is hoping to earn another 2 years in Washington, D.C. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer has more from Budzinski's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Illinois' 13th congressional district, running from the Metro East to Urbana-Champaign, could be a competitive seat for both major political parties. However, national experts have it rated a safe or solid Democratic seat this year. Even with a massive fundraising advantage, Budzinski says she can't take anything for granted.
I mean, we're working really hard throughout the district to tell the story of the work that we've been doing in this first term and making the case for the work that I want to continue to be doing.
The first-term Congresswoman says some of her key accomplishments have been bringing federal dollars back to the district, like $21 million for an Edwardsville Recreation Project. And she also touted her work on legislation in the Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Committees. Election Day is November 5th. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes, it is technically the November election, but early voting in Missouri and Illinois is underway right now. If you're confused about the issues or just want to learn more, St. Louis Public Radio has your back. Our voter guide is now available to help you make informed decisions at the polls. It includes a list of key races and ballot measures in the St. Louis region. You can find interviews with the candidates, explainers on the issues, and information about where to cast your ballot. You can find the voter guide on our website, stlpr.org/voterguide. Missouri emergency responders planning to travel to Florida to assist with Hurricane Milton relief are standing down. Thursday, Governor Mike Parson's office announced they'd heard from Florida state leaders that Missouri National Guard and Department of Public Safety resources are no longer needed. The crews had planned on dispatching in response to a request for emergency aid from Florida, which had anticipated more severe impacts from Milton. Water customers in St. Louis whose service lines are made of lead or an unknown material can expect to get a letter from the city in November. Those letters are the first steps the city is taking to comply with a federal rule issued earlier this week that will require all lead service lines to be replaced in 10 years. Residents who receive the letter will be asked to take an online survey about the pipes that deliver water to their house. The survey has information to help people determine the material of their service lines. The city says there are currently 9,000 lead service lines, with another 58,000 made from unknown material. Edwardsville's fire chief, who oversaw an eventful 4 years, including a deadly tornado and an oil spill, will retire today. James Whiteford will step down from the top firefighting job in Edwardsville after 28 years with the department. Whiteford first started as a volunteer in the Metro East town in the mid-90s. Over the next 24 years, Whiteford rose through the ranks.
I always thought that I wouldn't become the actual chief of the department unless it was, you know, the right time, with the right people, that kind of situation. And ultimately, that's what happened.
The soon-to-be-retired Whiteford led the city's response to a 2021 tornado that killed 6 people after flattening an Amazon warehouse. A couple months later, a pipeline spilled more than 160 gallons of crude oil into a local creek. Whiteford calls it one of the most eventful times in the department's history. For kids in the hospital, back-to-school season may look a little different. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum visited Rankin Jordan Children's Hospital in Maryland Heights to see how students learn as they heal.
It's self-care week at Oz, the preschool-like program for babies and toddlers at Rankin Jordan. A worker fills up a tub with soapy water and puts it on the floor with 3 tiny children. Lead teacher, Susie Ahrens, teaches the kids to wash the pretend germs away.
It's teaching them about cleaning their hands and cleaning their bodies and keeping themselves healthy.
The Oz program is one of the ways pediatric patients go to school. Rankin Jordan is a bridge hospital, kind of a halfway point between an acute care hospital and going home. Chief Medical Officer Nick Holkamp says that means many patients are there for extended stays and they can miss out on a lot.
We all know the importance of early childhood education and socialization from infancy onward. That's missing for kids stuck in hospitals for long periods of time.
Chief Nursing Officer Kristen LaRose says whether a patient does schoolwork depends on their condition and how long they're expected to stay in the hospital.
We want to create normal routines, and school is such an important part of that for our older kids.
Patients are split roughly into 2 groups. There's the preschool-aged kids that go to the Oz program, and then there's the older kids. They'll usually work with an inbound teacher from their own school if it's in the region. If a patient is from far away, they'll work with a teacher from the St. Louis County Special School District. That's the kind of teacher patient 18-year-old Brianna Turner works with. She has cerebral palsy and is healing from a hip surgery. She's in a common room near a window doing schoolwork.
I'm doing math. We're doing subtracting. We're looking up job application. We're doing a lot of stuff.
Her teacher, Barb Ressler, says they've also watched movies in different languages. Brianna definitely has a favorite.
Danish. I want to speak Danish in all the languages.
So we did a Danish lesson.
Brianna says she would love to be an interpreter someday. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Students at the Goldfarb School of Nursing are swapping CPR dummies for talking mannequins and virtual reality goggles. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, they're using technology to prepare for the chaos of a real hospital.
David Sturman is a nursing student at the Goldfarb School of Nursing at Barnes Jewish College. He has 2 terms to go until he can work in a real hospital, but he's already practicing in a simulated one.
All right, so what's going on? What brought you in? Do you know?
He's wearing virtual reality goggles and using them to talk to Charlotte, who has paranoid schizophrenia.
Where are we right now? Do you know?
He's living right in my brain.
Sturman peers through the goggles, trying to check Charlotte's vitals. A professor sits near him, toggling through the simulation. Sturman finishes his first virtual reality experience and says he feels more confident.
It's reduced my anxiety for, like, when it comes to patient interactions, especially like psychs. Those are like a gentle subject and it could require reassessments constantly.
Virtual reality experiences have been part of Goldfarb's process for about a year. In the obstetrics lab, students use VR as a computer tells them where to examine the patient.
The posterior aspect of the fetal anterior shoulder.
Wonderful. Great to know.
Katie Jett is the pre-licensure program director at Goldfarb. She says the program has made a huge technological leap compared to 20 years ago when she went to nursing school.
We had one lab with like four beds and one mannequin that wasn't electronic. It didn't have vital signs. It was bare bones.
Student Jamori Robertson says the simulated emergencies prepared him for the pediatric emergency room at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, where he shadows nurses.
In situations, I feel like when you know what to do, it calms you. It also makes it easier for you to, you know, navigate things instead of like freaking out.
Robertson's nearly finished with his year-long program to become a registered nurse. He says by December, he'll feel more than ready to work outside the simulation. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our David Cazares edited both of those stories. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.